part right, but there's another button on the inside you gotta push first. Hallelujah. You happy? You can be if you want to. We have a lot to be happy about. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. Our subject, once again, is the overcoming word. This will be part 8. Looks like we got a few returning that haven't been with us for a while, and we're God bless you, and it's so nice to see you this morning, and amen. Proof again, Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Not will or maybe or we'll try, but that part that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. I'd like to read from this message, this quote that we've been reading here for a few services now. Speaking about a little baby trying to do something. We've all seen little babies. No, let me do it. And maybe they can't even talk yet, but they're going to do it. And they're going to put that jacket on or whatever. If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it. I can do it. And he's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you. Neither can I. But if we'll just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. Your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to him. He overcomes for you. He overcomes for you. He knows the way, and we don't. He knows the way, and we don't. Hallelujah. That's after the birth, even. You still don't know the way. You know that he is the way, and that he knows the way. So you'll never be out in front of him saying, is this the right way? He will lead you in the way. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we're gathered together on this resurrection morning, Lord, with those of like precious faith, we thank you for this opportunity. We know that around the globe this morning, there's varying conditions depending on where they're at, Lord, and depending on what the laws of the local governments are, and state governments and national governments and so on and so forth. But Lord, we're free to come together here this morning. And Lord, we've been given liberty to do that, freedom to do it. There's an expectation that we'll do it in a safe manner, that we'll do it by living for others, and we will love one another enough, our fellow mankind, to not be part of the problem, but to, Lord, to be part of the solution this morning. And so, Lord, as we gather, we don't take this lightly. And if we do, then Lord, forgive us, help us, Lord, to recognize the opportunity that's been granted to us this morning. Father, as you know, I've received messages from China and different places. We know that China is cracking down very hard. We know that there are men of God that have been locked up for the gospel's sake. And we know that the Chinese government is exerting great power right now, taking advantage of this situation to do things that the world was in under normal circumstances, the world would rise up against, would speak against. But in these times of turmoil, many things are possible. There's times of distraction. We know, Lord, that likewise in Russia, that the message has been called a threat to the state, and Brother Branham's materials have been recently ruled something to be outlawed. And Lord, we know we're so thankful that your word has come into those nations. But Lord, there's a persecution that's coming, and there are peoples who are giving their lives, that are putting their lives on the line every day to hear the word of truth. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd be with each and every one wherever they're at, Lord, that you'd watch over them. And Lord, we pray that those that are incarcerated would be set free. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would have liberty amongst them, and that your word would have preeminence, O God. And Father, we just want to redeem the time that you've given to us. And Lord, I would hate to get to the other side and find out just how easy that you made things for us and how difficult it was on others. And then to hear the stories of the great press of different individuals in order to hear your word. And then, Lord, to realize that maybe we allowed other things to get in the way and other things to have the preeminence. But Lord, our desire is to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, for your word to have its resting place in our hearts and upon the throne of our hearts. And Lord, for you to direct, to guide, to help us to be more like you, to help us to surrender to you in a greater measure. And Father, we just pray that your word would wash us this morning, that we'd be washed by the water of the word, that you would scrub us inside and out. And Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. Lord, we pray for the continued safety of your body, of your people. And Lord, we pray for the ending of this pandemic. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Romans 6, verse 12, Brother Paul says, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." That word reign, once again, means to be king, to exercise kingly power, to reign, to exercise the highest influence, to control. So don't let sin exercise kingly power, exercise the highest influence in your mortal body. Now he's separating you from your body. He's showing you that you are not your body, but it is your body. These mortal bodies, as we've as we've been going through this, we see that I'm just imitating Kermit the Frog for a moment. These mortal bodies are neutral, and these bodies are going to be ruled over by one of two powers. One power is the power of unbelief, and the other power is faith in the Word of God. But you are being exhorted by the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles to not let unbelief control your mortal flesh, so that you obey the lusts of your mortal flesh, the desires, as we heard in the prayer before, just before we come up, to not allow the flesh and the desires of the flesh to be what we're catering to what we're allowing to have its way. So the lusts of the mortal flesh, they knock at the door, as Brother Paul says, you know. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Got it. I'm hungry. Got it. Heard you the first time. I'm hungry. All right, I'm shutting down. I'm shutting down. I'm going to pass out. What do you want? Well, you know that big $100 steak restaurant, with $100 steak? That's your flesh talking to you. Now, your flesh needs to let you know that it's hungry. But then your flesh has desires beyond just the hunger. Is that right? So it is unbelief in the Word of God, which is sin. All sin is the result of unbelief. Unbelief is behind it all. So it is unbelief in the Word of God that comes to you and tempts you to agree with it in your thinking, so that the lusts that are already resident in the flesh, so that the lusts of the flesh are what you're going to give attention to and then try to satisfy. As an example, unbelief in God's word would say, you don't need to go to church. You don't need a pastor. You can just listen to Brother Branham's messages instead. Or you can listen to a musician's interpretation of Brother Branham's message and discard what the pastor says. Oh, that doesn't happen. So I'm glad to pick something like that that, you know, nobody ever is tempted with. The devil will come any way he can, friends. You'll grow in Christ, and you will be united with Christ, and you will go in the rapture, and you don't need no stinking pastor, and you don't need to darken the door of a church. Well, if you aren't born again, you will darken that door. So if you let that unbelief take control. Now, friends, you know, don't get touchy here this morning. Part of the washing of the water of the word is these things are being dealt with in our lives. Maybe we were raised a certain way, and maybe we were taught that that was okay. And, you know, we all believed something that wasn't right at one point or another. There's not a one of us that didn't come from somewhere and aren't having to be purged of different things. And you might have something down in your subconscious this morning that hasn't been dealt with yet. Just like complexes are rooted down in your subconscious, and they have to be dealt with. And it's through the washing of the water of the word that they're dealt with, that they are addressed. And so, why does that keep coming my way? Because there's something there that maybe you're not thinking about that's down on the inside that's motivating you. Maybe there was every church experience that you had was some carnal man in a pulpit and carnal people in the pews, and maybe you got hurt, maybe you were abused different ways, and so down on the inside, in the soul, I don't want to get hurt any longer, and everybody's just going to hurt you. And so the desire to, so the tendency to just think that you're okay staying at home or without a pastor and just listening to the tapes, you'll believe that, and that is a lie. Yes. But there's something down here that needs to be rooted out. Yes. So it's sin speaking. It's sin that's tempting. And if you let that unbelief take control, if you yield to that thought, the mortal body has lusts that are ready to give into it, just waiting for the opportunity to obey it. Lusts that will say, well, you know what? You know, your body will agree. You know, I like this stay home from church thought. Hallelujah. I don't want to get out of bed. I deserve a break. That's the lust of your flesh speaking. Or you may have a lust of your flesh to, you know, stay away from people because people can be hurtful. or to avoid learning how to have confidence in the five ministering gifts that God has placed in the church to bring you to maturity. The flesh would say, you know, I don't want to go there. It's uncomfortable and I might get hurt. But that's your flesh speaking. So there are many desires of the flesh that can become lusts when we focus on them and try to satisfy them. Notice I said try to satisfy them. They can't be satisfied. Instead, what if you were to take that sin, that doubt, that unbelief, and instead say, you know, the thought comes to you, well, I don't need to go to church. And then go back to the word where the word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even the more so as you see that day approaching. Instead, take what the word says and cast down that thought that I don't need a body, that I can, me and God were just like this, but I'm not connected with the rest of the body. That's, friends, it's just not true. The word of God tells me not to forsake the assembling together of the saints. And it tells me that my faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it's a living word. It's not just playing something on a tape recorder or listening to somebody that's reading the Bible. Therefore, I'm going to obey that thought instead of this other thought. And when you do that, when you obey the right thought, the lust of the flesh to avoid people, the lust of the flesh to stay in bed, the lust of the flesh to be out on the sand dunes or out in the mountains or wherever it is that the flesh wants to be, and to avoid Christ as he ministers to you through his ministering gifts, they're not what you're going to obey. You're not going to obey those things if you first cast down that unbelieving thought. Yes. That's the root of it, friends. These other things are just waiting to act on that. So the Word of God will never, ever lead you to obey the lust of the flesh. Some of you have listened to influences of people that have fallen amongst us, people that are leaders, and you've listened to it, and it's brought unbelieving thoughts, and you've united with it to be against the ones that are sent to bring you to maturity, and you've fallen as a result. You've given into drinking or smoking or different things like that. I don't know who you are, but I'm just going to surrender this morning and preach. Amen. You're not being picked on. What's being shown to you is what started it. If you would have cast down that unbelieving thought first and foremost, you wouldn't now be catering to the lusts of the flesh. Well, go ahead and preach it, Brother Baker. I think that's pretty good preaching. How many want to overcome? How many are overcomers? Hallelujah. The Word of God will never lead you to obey the lusts of the flesh. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is showing us that the soul that is converted has a different life. It has a different nature to it. It has different desires. But at the very same time, the mortal body is not converted. Excuse me. We know that there are two extreme schools of thought among Christian denominations. One school leans to eternal security, which we call that Calvinism. And so it leans over to, you know, you're saved by grace through faith and not of works, and you're always saved, but it's an Old Testament salvation, because in the Old Testament you were saved and your sins were covered, but you still were a sinner in the Old Testament. So this line of thinking believes that, you know that you're no good, and you know that you're weak, and you know that God understands that, and God feels sorry for you, and that's why he saved you. But just try to do the best you can, realizing nobody's perfect and nobody can live this life. So that's one extreme. The other extreme school says that you are saved, and when you are saved, you're perfect. And because you're perfect, your works will show it. And if you start doing wrong works, well, that's because you're not saved. So that's the other extreme. So they watch the works. They watch the works. They watch the works. And you can be saved one day and lost the next. you're saved by your works. You're condemned by your works. You can lose your salvation when you do bad things. Your salvation can be taken away from you. But both of those views are wrong. The truth is right down the middle. And when you accept one of these extreme views, you read and interpret Romans 6 in the way that fits your extreme view. So if you lean to the works extreme thought, you will say, well, you know, Paul was preaching in Romans chapter 6 to those who are not saved. Yeah. Paul was telling them how to live so that they could get saved. And that's what Romans is about. He's telling them, don't do this, don't do that, by your works, and here's how you get saved, and then you won't do those things anymore. And now you're saved. I'm saved, so I'm perfect. And so I don't need to be told not to obey the lusts of the flesh. So Paul's not talking to me here in Romans 8, because I have no lusts of the flesh, because I'm saved. That extreme view says that a saved person lives in sinless perfection, never makes mistakes, and never has a bad thought. You're Jesus of Nazareth. Because he's the only one that we can say that was true. And if that person is under that teaching, if they're honest with themselves, they know that they make mistakes. And so they find themselves living a secret life and an outward life. It's just natural. It's the only way that you can resolve that. a person that's under the extreme teaching on the other end, which we call, easy believing, we'll just believe, they don't see that there's a conversion that actually takes place in the soul. There's a dying out and there's a rebirth. And so when they read Paul in Romans chapter 6, they'll listen to it and run it through a different filter. That person will hear Paul saying, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Just try to do the best, but realize that nobody can live the life of a Christian, so don't worry about it. You're saved no matter what. In other words, even though Paul says not to let sin reign and not to obey the lusts of the flesh, we all know that that's impossible. That's the way they read it. But the truth is right between those two extreme thoughts. If you are born again in the soul, you will hear what Brother Paul is saying. You will hear the word of the Lord as it's coming through Brother Paul. And you will recognize that your soul has passed from death unto life. That you are a new creature in the soul. You're not the old man any longer, but you're a new creature. You will recognize that the soul's desires have been changed. You will recognize that the soul believes the word of God. Hallelujah. And you will recognize unbelief when it comes to tempt you in your thinking. And you will do what Paul says by casting down reasoning, imagination, all these different memories, things that exalt themselves above the word of God. You will recognize that your mortal body is not converted. You'll never be able to trust it to just, I'll just turn my head and let it do whatever it thinks is best. You cannot trust it. It is not converted, and it has desires that need to be ruled over. And you realize that the desires of your flesh do not always match the desires that are in your soul. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Your soul wants to do what's right. And your soul wants to please God. And your soul, more than anything, actually desires to live righteously. But doubt tries to pull you away from the desires of the soul so that the desires of the flesh are what is being satisfied instead of the desires of the soul being satisfied. So we need to understand what it is that we need to overcome. There's where the battle's at. So the new man is Christ created in you in the second creation. It's literally Christ in you. Somebody else is living in your body. It's Christ resident in you, living in you. It is the faith of God coming in you. We're not told, have faith in God, but we're told to have the faith of God. And the only way that you can have the faith of God is for God to come in you. Now you have the faith of God because God is in you. Paul wants the born-again believer to see that you are in a cocklebur body, but you are not a cocklebur in your soul. Glory to God. You may be living in a fixer-upper, but inside it's all fixed up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. So first of all, we need to understand who Paul is talking to. First of all, sin, you're not sin. Sin is coming to tempt you. Sin is unbelief. Sin is Satan coming to work through your reasoning or your conscience or your memory or your hang-ups, your affections, whatever it might be. Satan comes to you. You're not that sin. You're born again. You are not unbelief. In your soul, you believe the word of God. So it's no longer resident in your soul, but it's knocking at the door. It's coming into your mind, and Paul says, don't let that reign in your mortal body. So the body isn't you, and the sin isn't you. So who's the you? The you is your will. It's you deciding. I'm going to let this happen. I'm going to let that happen. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to yield to this. I'm not going to yield to that. Glory to God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It is sin, which is not you. And obey your mortal body, obey the lust thereof of your mortal body. You are not going to allow that. The you is not your mortal body if you're born again. It is your will that is the you. The Lamb's life now dwells in you and anoints you and directs you to live right. The power is now in your soul to live right. Before you were converted, before you were born again, there was a different life in you. It was a life of death, and you couldn't live right even if you wanted to. Even if you said, my will is to live right, you couldn't. Because there was another power in you, another life force, that wouldn't allow you to live different. But now you've been born again, you've been set free from that life of death. You've died out to that, and now another life form has come in you with a different kind of power, and that power can live right. That power does live right. That power can keep you. That power has overcome the world. That power will change your mortal body. So Paul wants the born-again believer to see something has taken place. Something's changed on the inside, even though from the outside it may not look like it initially. Hallelujah. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So you are the one that has the new birth, and you now have power resident in you to control. And your flesh, as we've seen, as we've been going through this, your flesh is a collection of instruments. The old person did not have the power to live this kind of a life. But you are now alive from the dead. You were living a life of death. But you are now alive from the dead. There's a different kind of a life form that's living in you. And your instruments, your body, is not righteous, neither will it ever be, but it's not unrighteous either. Your instruments are just that. They are instruments that you yield to righteousness or you yield to unrighteousness. In other words, the instruments, you know, we can think of it this way. Remember the temple that was built? You know, there are several examples of it, but let's look at Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. There were instruments in there that were used to a basin for washing, and there was a candlestick, and there was gold, and there was purple, and there was the badger skins, and there all these things in there, and those instruments were set aside for holy service. But the instruments were not righteous, neither were they unrighteous. And in the many times that the temple was desecrated and parts of it were carried away, a chalice that was used to drink in communion, maybe a golden cup, maybe the king got a hold of it from the conquering nation and now he's drinking Jack Daniels or whatever. Now it's being used for unrighteousness. So was the cup bad? It wasn't good either. It was just an instrument. Are you with me? So the instruments that were used in the temple were used, they were instruments of righteousness. But once they were taken away, they were instruments of unrighteousness. But they were the same instruments. If your mortal body was righteous, it could never be tempted. It could never be used of the devil. And Paul could save his breath. When we were in the world, we yielded our instruments to unrighteous acts. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, a new man takes the very same instruments and directs them to do righteous acts. A musical instrument is not good, and a musical instrument is not bad. It's something that's just waiting to be played. And what is played is determined by who plays it. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. But let me flatten you. Your body has always been a temple. It's just that it was a temple to unrighteousness at one point. It was a temple to unbelief. But now it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the same temple. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. The law came along and showed you that you were a sinner. And the law convinced you that you couldn't live. You'd always be a sinner. Because in your flesh, there's none righteous. Not one. Until the law came, we didn't know that. But the law, Brother Branham says, the law is what put you in jail and threw away the key. Right? So we are no longer under the dominion of the law, but we are under grace. But the lawgiver, the only one that can keep the law, now lives in you and will keep his word. Will fulfill the law because he's the only one that can. And when that breaks on you, and when you yield to that, when you make yourself a servant to that, you won't get puffed up. Because you'll know that it isn't you, but it's Christ in you. And all attention goes to him. Are you with me? It's Christ in you that fulfills the law. I know this is simple, but it's deep when it breaks on you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. In either case, you're a servant. You were once a servant to sin. Now you're a servant to righteousness. You have been freed from sin. You've been freed from unbelief. That's been taken out of the soul. You've died out to it. That sin nature that was in the soul is gone. The desires of sin are gone. But the flesh is still the flesh. You've been made free from sin. You were once lost. And you yielded your members when you were lost to unrighteous acts. You were then set free from the bondage of sin when you were born again. When you died out to your first husband, to your old nature. You were born again. You were set free from that sin nature that ruled over you. You can now live right. You can now live right. Because what is in you is giving you the power to live right. And you are now a servant to God and not a servant to Satan. And you now yield your instruments to God, whereas before you yielded your instruments to Satan. You once danced for the world, now you dance for the Lord. You once sang for the world, now you sing for the Lord. Maybe you played your instrument, your musical instrument for the world. Now you play it for the Lord. Maybe your words were foul, and now your words are righteous. It's the word of God, perhaps. So you're serving another master now. And you are no longer the servant of sin. Nobody can make you. God's not going to make you, and the devil's not going to make you. But if you'll yield, the power that's in you will produce righteous acts. Not because this is righteous, but because the power that's in you that you are yielding to only does righteous acts. So it's Christ that you are yielding to, and it's Christ that's committing those righteous acts through your members that you are choosing to yield to Christ who lives in you. Glory to God. Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity or the weakness or the sin sickness of the flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. And so in other words, it's iniquity is doubt. It's knowing what's right and not doing it. And so you yielded yourself to that. You made yourself a servant to iniquity and that resulted in iniquity in your flesh. That's what people saw. That's what was produced. That's what was lived out. He says, even so now, yield yourselves. So you still got to yield. Yield yourselves, members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Servants to righteousness, so you're surrendering, allowing righteous acts to come through you. And what people see is holiness. They see a life that's set aside for the Lord. But this isn't holy. But that's what people see. Because you're yielding to righteousness. Glory to God. There's now a new king that's on the throne of your heart. Your body has always been neutral. But there was once another king on the throne of your heart. A hypocrite can sing praises to God. A hypocrite can be anointed by the genuine Spirit of God. And that same hypocrite can go outside the church and be anointed of the devil. Or even sit in the church and be anointed of the devil. Both of them have an access to this instrument, right? Notice this, Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Paul says, for I delight, I am thrilled, I love, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Glory to God. That word delight, it means to rejoice together with another or with others. Well, who are you rejoicing with? You. You're rejoicing together with that inward man. To rejoice together with another or others in the New Testament wants to rejoice or delight with one's self or inwardly. Glory to God. You know, when you were lost, you were looking for friends. You wanted a friend so bad you couldn't find a friend that really totally understood you because you didn't totally understand yourself. So, you know, how somebody else can understand you. But there's a desire to be understood. There's a desire to have a faithful friend. And what you want is fellowship. And when you're together, you have good times and you laugh and you delight in that fellowship. But when you're born again of the Spirit, there's a new man. There's an inward man, and now you can have fellowship with yourself. Oh, I know that didn't sound right. I know that didn't go over too well. But you rejoice. You could be reading something in the Word. You could be hearing something, and something in you is hallelujah, glory to God. And you say, that was good, wasn't it? Oh, that's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great thought? But there's something in you that's jumping around. There's something in you that's having a jubilee. That's the inward man. So you rejoice within yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't care for fellowship with one another. Certainly those that have that same inward man dwelling in them, yeah, you do want fellowship, but you could be a one-man party or a one-woman party. It doesn't matter who showed up because you're there. Glory to God. It's the inward man that rejoices. Listen to this from the future home. Brother Brown says, you're the same man in stature that you were when God called you. Same woman. But you see what it did? It was a regeneration. The old life down in the soul passed away. The old desire has passed away. When you used to like to drink, when you used to like to cuss and to fuss and stew, there are people that actually love a good argument. There are people that love a good stirrup. And then they'll go smoke a cigarette afterwards and say, was it good for you? Oh, I just so love that. That's the old nature. Right. The old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. You used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral. That thing just died. But now, then you was Satan's instrument. Now you are redeemed. And that's what the world will be, the same way redeemed, a new heavens and a new earth. But what I want you to notice here is the new heavens and the new earth is the same old heaven and old earth regenerated. Hallelujah. So God renovates the heavens, he renovates the earth, and he renovates you. This corruption takes on incorruption. He says, just like you, you are a new creation. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, said, you are a new creation. Amen. A new creation in the same old temple. A new creation in the same old temple. The same old temple that once had big old giant holes in the ears and holes in the nose and maybe still has a tattoo that won't go away, but it's like that scar that's on the ceiling. We'll take that as, Lord, look what you did. Look what you brought us from. There's what Satan tried to do to me. And I may have that scar as a reminder, but now this temple is surrendered to you. Glory to God. Just like you are a new creation, a new creature, and the Greek word there, anybody knows, you are a new creation, amen, a new creation in the same old temple. When you first get saved, when you first give your heart to the Lord, when you first surrender, people look at you and they say, well, I don't see anything different. Well, there's nothing to see that's different. Maybe you're still wearing the t-shirt and with a beer stein on the front, and maybe you haven't got a haircut yet, whatever, but just stick around. You will begin to see on the outside that there's someone else on the inside. God renovates you from the inside out. Amen. Same body. Yes. So the same hair that was spiked up with gel is now laying flat. The same one that looked like, you know, isn't it something? It's the same one that looked like the Statue of Liberty. Hair, you know, torch in your hand. I got such liberty. You think you do, but you're a prisoner to sin. The same tabernacle, instead of spiked hair, is now laying down, combed, cut, whatever, but it's the same hair. Sure. Yeah. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let us walk honestly. Now, who's he talking to? Oh, friends, this isn't reform school. I'm so glad that the Bible is, I can just take it the way it's written. I'm so glad that I don't have to, well, let's see, he's talking, now there he's talking to this denomination, there he's talking to the unbeliever, now he's talking to the elect. And, no, there are certain, we know that there are certain scriptures that are just to the elect, and some that are to the unsaved, and some that are to the saved. But when it comes to this kind of instruction, Paul doesn't, he's not saying, no, I'm okay, I'm not talking to the bride now. I'm talking, this is foolish virgin that I'm talking to. He said, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Don't allow an opportunity. Don't provide an opportunity for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He didn't say the lusts of the flesh are gone. He says, don't give a provision for those lusts to prevail. So to be clothed with a person, this terminology that's being used here that Paul is using, it's actually Greek terminology of the day. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the Greek, to be clothed with a person, it's a Greek phrase that signifies entering into the views of another, to be holy on the side of another, to become like the one, an actor does that. An actor is trying to faithfully put on the character of somebody else. And if they're really successful of it, that's what you'll see. What you'll see is this person that they're trying to put on. And you'll actually, for a moment, suspend belief and actually believe that they are that person. That they are acting out. But they're not. They're just putting on that person. Are you with me? So, notice Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say put in. Because you can't put him in. And you can't take him out. Nobody can put him in you. Nobody can take him out of you. You've got to be born again of the Spirit. Christ in you. Christ has to come in you. So, but just because he's in you, that's not the end of the story. Now you need to put him on you. Now you need to be clothed in him. Now I'm going to break this down. We're going to spend a few moments because this is really kind of the crux of where we're going this morning. This is what you got to do. You can't put him in, but you can put him on. And not only can you, but you're instructed to do that. You can put on the outside what is now living on the inside. And you do that by exercising your free will and surrendering, yielding to the one that's on the inside so that he can be reflected on the outside. You put on the outside what is being lived on the inside. Now, if you aren't born again, it's just a put on. But in both cases, it's a put on. If you are born again, it's a put on. If you're not born again, it's a put on. Because you've got a choice. You've got to decide, am I going to yield? Am I going to surrender? And of course, if you are born again, you will do this. You will surrender to him. And by doing that, you will put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And others will see his righteousness. And they might even think that you are him. Oh, I know that sounds blasphemous. Are you Jesus Christ? No. Are you Jesus Christ? Yes. Well, which is it? Uh-huh. What you are seeing is Jesus Christ. But I'm yielding so that you can see who's living on the throne of my heart. And the more that I can yield, the more you'll see him. But you're a million miles away if you're saying, I'm him. I'm not your Savior. I'm not Emmanuel. Amen. But the Savior's living in me. It's his characteristics, it's his traits, it's his viewpoints that you have been baptized into in one body. And now you put him on. So it's what you do, and it's by your choice as you yield your instruments. Amen. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh, but to fulfill the lusts thereof. So right now, you're putting on a garment that matches your soul. Right now, that's what we're doing. But one day, he's going to put another garment on you. Another robe. He's going to change your body. Put you in a robe that matches what's already living in your soul. But until then, you're putting on a robe of righteousness. And the way you put that on is by allowing Christ in you to work through you. Glory to God. And then that's what people see. People see your clothes. Spiritually speaking, they see your acts. They see your behavior. So you wear him on the outside for others to see. Well, how do I do that, Brother Baker? By yielding to what's on the inside. Just as you once yielded to what was on the inside. You know, yielding, that's the hardest thing that you will never do. It's an act of not doing. It is so hard for us to not do. We always want to do something. Well, what do I got to do? That's why it takes so long to get the new birth sometimes. Took me 6 months. What do I got to do, Lord? Well, he told me the part that I was supposed to do, repent. With sorrow and, you know, and tears. And, I'm sorry, Lord, and I don't want to be that way. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Die out to yourself, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I got that. Now, what do I got to do? Okay, I did that. Didn't happen yet. I repented, Lord. I was baptized in Christian baptism. Nothing happened. What do I got to do? Come on. It ain't you. This is what he said he's going to do. Now you got to yield. Now you got to say, I surrender. I'm going to let you do what you said you're going to do. And the reason why it doesn't happen is because we didn't have a dying out. We didn't. And if you don't have a dying out, you're not going to totally surrender. And there's different reasons for that. Could be trust issues. You know, well, I'm afraid and I don't know what he's going to do and whatever. Or just be wrong teaching. It is that most of the time. But yielding is the hardest thing because it's an act of not doing. It's an act of surrender. And surrender requires trust. What you're doing is you're surrendering and you're saying, Lord, whatever pleases you, let that flow from the inside to the outside. Let others see you, Lord, living in me. May I be transparent. May this flesh get out of the way so they can see who's on the throne. When Satan comes to tempt you and to bring thoughts of doubt to you, instead you'll cast those thoughts down and you put on Christ. An example, Satan will come and try and tempt you with depression. Sure. Tell you there's no reason to live and God doesn't love you and whatever. Whatever the lie is that he's telling you. But now you got to make a choice. Right. And the choice is, okay, am I going to surrender to that and then have a pity party? And give in to it and ultimately take my life or whatever? Everybody around me as well? Or am I going to take that thought and say, you know what, devil, you're a liar. Yeah. God loves me. Yeah. And you know what, I may not, right now, I get it. I feel these feelings that you're working on. I feel that. I won't deny it. It feels like I'm in Seattle and there's no sun. I feel that. But instead of going with your feelings, instead, you put a smile on your face. Instead, you allow your face to agree with what is in your soul. And after a while, not only is it what's on your face, and not only is it what's in your soul, but you actually feel that way. Glory to God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't provide an opportunity for the flesh to cater to and focus on its desires. Others will not see your flesh when you put on Christ. They will see Christ. Well, I believe that anyway. When somebody asks you 3 times... to repeat something, your flesh has a desire to show that, you know, I want things orderly. I'm irritated. I'm going to change you. I don't like the fact that, you know, here we go again. That's your flesh. In case you didn't know it. Your flesh will desire to show its irritation, right? But Christ is patient. And so you will yield to Christ, and Christ will exhibit patience. And when you do that, you're putting on patience. Now we call it putting on, but it isn't just to put on.
Sure.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real patience in the soul. The flesh might still be squirming. Right? But you're putting on patience by surrendering to it, by yielding to it. Glory to God. There's the overcoming, friends. There's the battle. Nobody's going to talk to me that way. I have rights. All of that's true. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to surrender to? What do you want people to see? A Laodicean or Christ? Hallelujah. So others will say, oh, he's so patient, she's so patient. But they're really not talking about you, but they're talking about Christ that lives in you, that you are putting on the outside so that they can see. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So your soul has been created after him. And the word will then begin to wash you from the inside out, and it will renew your mind. But friends, there's actually a renewal that's taking place in the new man over and over and over. There's a refreshing that's taking place in the soul. That's why it's baptism after baptism after baptism. You're not getting born again, born again, born again. It's a refreshing. Your soul has been created after him. Now let the word wash you on the inside. Let it wash your thoughts. Washed by the water of the word. And that's one of the main reasons why we come together to hear the word.
Amen.
Is to let the word wash us.
Yes.
To have the mind of Christ. The word that is in you is now moving into your thinking realm. It's now inhabiting the realms of your thinking. And now you're thinking his thoughts. Instead of thinking somebody else's thoughts or your own thoughts. Colossians 3 verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Kind of sounds like somebody that's born again to me. You put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another. Now why would he have to tell you that? You see, bless God, we're holiness. We're perfect. Well, if you're so perfect, why do you offend me all the time? Scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed to the day of your redemption. Well, bless God, I ain't grieved. Well, I am. And it says, if you got the Holy Ghost and I got the Holy Ghost, somebody's ghost ain't holy. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Baker, I just want you to know right now, a Christian cannot commit a deceptive act. I've told you a million times. That's a deceptive act. You're my best friend ever. You know what amazes me is that people will post stuff like that and then come along and tell you that you're their best friend ever. It's like, now somebody's really not your best friend, or ever don't mean ever. How many would agree that that's a deceptive act? Now you're getting nervous. Honey, the phone's for you. I ain't here. Who is it? It's your lawyer. Tell him I'm not here. But you are here. I won't be when you tell him.
Right.
Brother Bram left the house, went down to a meeting. Somebody needed prayer. He starts praying for that need. The one that's on the throne on the inside said, you know that wasn't right. You yielded your instruments to something else. You need to make that right. So what did he do? He said, look, I can't pray for you right now. I've done something that I got to go make right. He went off. He made it right. He came back, prayed for that person. Which one of you wants to say that Brother Branham wasn't born again? That he wasn't a new creature? I'll go a step further than that. He lied. Wow, is it quiet? Yes, he had a belly button. You put off the old man. You no longer wear the old man on the outside, which was a reflection of the sinful life that was living on the inside. Others, no doubt, I've had this experience myself, others will want to know where the old man went to. I want the old Doug. Well, that makes one of us. We can go over here to the cemetery. He's pretty smelly by now. He's been in the grave more than 4 days. Smell of death is awful, friends. We want the old Doug. Sorry, can't help you out. He's gone. You have been restored to the image of God. And now you are the one that chooses to reflect him on the outside. It's your choice. Satan can't make you do anything, and God won't force you either. It's your choice. Is that right? Put off the old man, put on Christ after the new man. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. That image has been renewed in you. Amen. The image of him that created you. I'll let that break on you. Have a little shouting party somewhere. Amen. The inner man is refreshed. Day by day. Renewed. By the washing of the water of the word. By getting more oil. So what is on the inside is being renewed and refreshed. And guess what? What's on the outside then gets renewed and refreshed. What others see? Well, I can tell somebody had a revival. Why? It shows on the outside. There's a refreshing that takes place. From glory to glory. The inner man is refreshed, and we need to be refreshed. We need to be refreshed. That image needs to be refreshed. The outer man is then refreshed. Then others are refreshed. You're a refreshment. Speaking of that, you know, I can't help it with background in electrical engineering. The refresh rate will determine what others see. As an example, so, I think, isn't it like 60 hertz is what the refresh rate is normally on a display or something like that? And, of course, they're upping it. There's something very special about 60 cycles per second, 60 beats per minute. Turns out 60 hertz, 60 cycles per second with an alternating current motor, It turns out to be a frequency where things are most efficient. You're not losing power. It's a trade-off of magnetic field strength and materials and different things. And it just works out that's a pretty good frequency. The Europeans originally went with 50 hertz, and 60 hertz actually is more efficient than 50 hertz and in terms of electrical motors and what have you. So, but then there's a refresh rate. So when, I know you don't have a computer because you'd go to hell if you had one, but if you did, if you ever saw one, it's an instrument. What you do with it Well, if somebody had that, they'd look at bad pictures. That person just needs to get saved. Well, if you had one of those, all you'd see is bad pictures, if that's what you're looking for. Okay, so stay with me for a moment. Assuming that you were with me before I said stay with me. When you look at the screen, what are you looking at? Well, 59 parts of a second, you aren't seeing anything. 1/60th of a second, you're seeing an image that's being refreshed. So it ain't there most of the time. But it happens to be at the right frequency that your mind doesn't know the difference. Because your mind doesn't see the 59 out of 60 parts of that second, that it isn't there. If you made it slower, your mind would say, ah, that's a trick. I can see it. It's flickering. Here it is, now it isn't. Here it is, now it isn't. Here it is, now it isn't. But at 60 hertz and above that, your mind says, that's there all the time, but it isn't. There's a refreshing that's taking place. The image is being refreshed. Stay away from church. That image ain't going to be there. You need a refreshing. How often? 60 times a week? No. And often enough period of time that in people's minds, they don't see you when you stub your toe in the middle of the night. They don't see you when you're ready to throw in the towel. Because most of the time, that's not the image that's being projected. But you're still there. But the trick is, not the trick, the secret is to keep that refresh rate to where they're seeing on the outside what's on the inside, and they're not seeing the other part of you that's still there. Which you don't really want to see either. Amen? Amen. Praise. You know, I was... When I woke up on Thursday morning, I was still happy. And I thought, man, we just need to stay in this atmosphere. But I already knew that. Right? But what caused me to think that again? The refreshing. We can do a service and go through all the motions, and that's good, and do all the things that are right and still not be refreshed when we come together. And we've got personal times of refreshment. But then there's refreshment as a body, where you start looking at one another. That's why I love this guy. There's a refreshing that takes place, and you see that again. Wow, there's Christ. That's what I saw in this sister. I've been looking at other things. But there's a refreshing that takes place. It's not her problem, it's my problem. Come on, friends. I need my mind to be refreshed. I need my soul to be refreshed. I need more oil. And that's the difference between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin gets enough to get saved, but doesn't get any more. And they can get critical, and they can get dry, and they can get nobody's perfect, and nobody's going to make it, and I don't trust this one, and I don't trust that one, and on and on and on. But you're getting refreshed. You're getting in the times of the refreshing. Oh, that sounds like a sermon, don't it? In the times of the refreshing. This is the time of the refreshing, the renewal. It's baptism after baptism. It's a refreshing. It's keeping that image fresh. Now, if you want to take it a step further here for just a moment, you look on your computer, if you had one, you know, that lost person in your church, if you were to look on their computer, you'd see an icon on the desktop. Yeah, the front of it's called a desktop. You'd see a little icon. Maybe you'd see an icon that says Microsoft Word, or maybe you'd see one that says, Facebook. A book filled with faces. You know, we can go off the rails on Facebook. We can go too far this way. We can go too far that way. But the main thing is to find your face in the book. It's a type of a book that's got your face. What a time. It's only here in the evening time that we find our face in a book. And then somebody comes out with Facebook to try to get you to focus on the natural person. Glory to God. You look at that little icon. That icon isn't the program. That icon isn't Facebook. But what do you think when you see that icon? You think about Facebook. You think about Microsoft Word, which might be good or bad. You think about what that icon represents. Because it's an image. And that image is being put on your desktop. And it's being refreshed 60 times a second. Unless you've got a new monitor that does it a little faster. Right? The image is not Facebook, but what it's projecting to you is what it's representing. It's representing Facebook. What you see is what's in that icon. Well, that's you this morning. You're putting on the outside, what's on the inside. And what people see on the outside isn't Christ, but it's what Christ looks like on the inside. It's what's being reflected. Oh, glory to God. And it's got to be refreshed. You with me? Praise the Lord. I'm trying to wrap this up here for a moment. And your passcode is required. Why? What is with that? I'm still me. The inner man is refreshed day by day. Well, Brother Branham, I'm grouchy, I'm irritable, I'm critical. What can I do about it? Sweeten your life with prayer. Get refreshed. And then what's on the outside will be refreshed. So as the inner man is refreshed, the outer man is refreshed. And those that get around you are refreshed. And the refresh rate determines what others see. If your refresh rate is once a year, then they'll see you most of the time. And once a year, they'll say, who's this other person? Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is being proved through you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Refreshed day by day. So the refresh rate is 365 times a year. It's every day. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. If God be with us, Brother Brown says, you can't expect a baby to be born to man. It's got to grow to it. And we grow in Christ to the full stature. Something, not somebody get converted tonight and tomorrow go preach the gospel. We grow up into manhood into the stature of Christ. So we are growing and we yield. As we learn to yield more, we see more of a reflection on the outside. We're not getting more of him on the inside. Whatever we are is on the inside, but it's got to come out and show on the outside. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. So some will read these scriptures and they'll just want to make jewelry and outer clothing the focus of these words. And yet on the inside, they're still meaner than a hornet. But it isn't the clothing that's the subject of this discussion. But it's the putting on of the new man or the new woman. That's the focus. He says, let what's put on the outside match what's on the inside. Let it be an image or a reflection of what's inside the heart. So the bride is continuing to get oil, and she's continuing to be refreshed on the inside and on the outside. On the outside, she continually refreshes the image to match what's going on the inside. She's yielding to it. So the new man is Christ formed in you. You are giving birth to Christ. You are bringing Christ back to the earth in a temple, in a body, in a many-membered body. Christ is coming back, the same Christ, in another body. It's not you that's going to live it. It's Christ in you. Amen. Christ is that life. And that life is now living in you. And he is the very person of the Word. And you are now yielding to him. You put on Christ. And when you put on Christ, you're putting on his righteousness. You see, it's been granted to you to be clothed in linen, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. It's been granted to you to be clothed in linen, pure and white. How is that granted? Christ coming in, he knocks on the door, you let him in. And now you're being clothed on the outside by what's on the inside. It is his life reflecting on the outside what is on the inside. So in other words, when people look at you, they're not seeing his life. They're seeing the image of his life. His life is in you. You can't see Spirit God, but you can see the image as it's being reflected in a body. You still with me? Galatians 2:20. We'll pull over here in just a moment. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Until people see the fullness of Christ manifested in you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, I love this. Friends, that's shouting material, because you realize you weren't created here. You were created in him. Amen. And you were created unto good works. Yes. You can't stop it. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So you were created in Christ, and you were ordained to bring forth good works. And it's him that gets all the glory, because it's Christ in you. Okay, I'm going to quote it and quote it and quote it. Now we'll read it. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. What an unlikely place. That's the last place that you would look for Christ, is in these heathen Gentiles. You know, friends, to me, that's one of the greatest. Brother Jude, that proves that we're worthy to sit on the throne and rule and reign in the millennium. You realize we're going to be dealing with heathen in the millennium? That there'll be people that will make their choice at the end of the millennium. Right? But you're going to rule over them and reign over them. And you know why you're trusted to do that? Because you're ruling over and reigning over a heathen right now. No, not me. I know some want to do that. Work on your own heathen. You're conquering a heathen right now. You're dragging a heathen to a body change. Kicking and screaming. Your heathen would like to stay in bed, but oh no. You know, you've had your time. Your heathen would like to be at all you can eat places, but those are closed now. Your heathen would like to be here or there, but the inner man says, it's my turn. I was happy when they said, your inner man, your new man. I was happy when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. The outer man says, do we have to? The inner man says, oh, are you talking about have to? I want to. Amen. Well, you can't make me. Well, there's a power in me that can. That power in me, which I'm going to surrender to and yield to. Oh, Brother Baker, I just can't get up. Well, you need to yield to something that's in you. Because there's a power in you that can get up. Oh, you mean the same you that can get up and go fishing? The same you that can get up at 4 a.m. and go hunting? That's the you that can't get up by 10 to go to church or 9 or whatever. Yeah, hallelujah. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John 4:12, we'll close with this. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. Means it's come into full view, full display. You can't perfect love. Love is perfect. But it's brought into full view so that others can see the love of God and know what it is. Let's stand. The overcoming word. Praise the Lord. You love him? The musicians would come, please. I hope you can see as we go through these things, friends, this carcass ain't no better and it ain't no worse than yours. And we're not here to draw attention to this carcass. We're all here for one purpose, and that's to reflect his image. The image of the one that's dwelling in you. Right? We're all here to serve him. We're all here to hear from him. We're all here to be instruments played by him. And the amazing thing, as we went through here a few services ago, is that he made you as an instrument, and he knows how to play you. He knows how to bring that certain sound through you. You don't even know what the sound is. But he created you to bring forth a certain sound. And as we yield our instruments, as we yield ourselves to him, he'll make that certain sound in a certain time, a certain season. And others will hear the master as he plays through his masterpiece, which is a piece of the master. Glory to God. And yet, the other part of us is out of the picture. The other part of it is surrendering. We don't glory in the flesh. Jesus didn't glory in his flesh, but his desire was that the will of the Father, the Word, would be done, lived out in that instrument. That's our desire this morning. To be yielded instruments. Allowing the word to overcome in our lives. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you this morning, and we love you every morning, but Lord, we just want to express our love to you once again and our thanksgiving. And Lord, I can say, Lord, what a pressure was released from me when it finally sunk through that this wasn't something that I was supposed to try to do, but it's something that I would yield to. I had to make the choice to die out to that old nature that had a hold of me that I couldn't change. And I had to make the choice to surrender to a new life and to allow you to come and take preeminence, to sit on the throne of the heart, to be Lord of all. And now, Lord, every day I've got to make that choice. Every day I've got to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Every day I've got to make the choice to put on Christ, to reflect that image, to allow your righteousness to be reflected to the world. And Lord, it isn't me that's causing those works to be produced, but it's me surrendering to Christ that's in me, the hope of glory. It's me surrendering and allowing you to reflect your image so that the world can see you. All attention goes to you, all honor, all glory, all testimonies, all love goes to you, all adoration goes to you. Lord, it's just the opposite of what we've been trained to do in the natural. In the natural, we've been told to be all that we can be, to strive for perfection, to strive for this, for mastery, to strive for... and then, Lord, one person gets the prize. But, Lord, this is just the opposite. This is us letting go and letting you do, letting you work out your will, your desire, letting you use us for your kingdom, for your honor, for your glory, to produce your works. I pray, Lord, that your blessings be upon each and every one, that you move on to every heart. Lord, as we go through these times, we realize, Lord, that you're not surprised by what's taking place and that there's a purpose to everything that's going on. But Lord, as we go through this time, and Lord, as we go through this series that you've placed on my heart, Lord, may we allow your word to search our hearts. Lord, maybe we don't even know, and maybe it's, Lord, through the preaching of the word, that there's something that's maybe down in the subconscious, or something that's struggling to surrender, and maybe it's struggling out of experience or fear or memories or whatever. But Lord, the real son or daughter of God that's on the inside, that new creature, Lord, it's our desire to reflect you in every way, every shape, every form. But Lord, maybe that thing needs to be dealt with. May we surrender, Lord, and allow your word to do surgery on us. May we surrender, Lord, and allow your word to wash us. Maybe we don't know why, Lord, just as not as a theme, but just as an example here this morning, Lord, maybe we don't know why we have trouble coming to church or have trouble trusting. But Lord, we believe every Christian can't wait for the doors to come open. And we believe that every Christian trusts you. So whether we're manifesting that or not, it doesn't unchristianize us. But it shows, Lord, that something else needs to be washed and dealt with so that that image can be more fully reflected. So that Christ that's formed in us can be more fully reflected. We all come from different backgrounds and experiences, Lord, and all of us are overcoming things. All of us are facing things that, Lord, we're wrong thinking or memories or whatever it might be. And we need to be washed. And we're trusting in you as we surrender to you, Lord. We're trusting in you to bring those changes in our lives. And we're not fearful of it, Lord. And we also know that this is love that's motivating this, Lord. You're trying to take us higher. You're not trying to show us that we're wrong, that we're a bad person. But, Lord, you're trying to show us what's hindering your power from having a greater preeminence in our lives. And we believe, Lord, that as you show us these things, and as we surrender and we say, Lord, just have your way. I surrender, Lord. Father, as you showed me that I'd made myself a complex, I had to first see that I made a complex. Lord, it was all based on things that happened to me, treatment, different things. But nobody gave me a complex. Nobody can. I made myself a complex. And I ran things through that filter. And my feelings would be hurt because of that complex. But Lord, you had to show that to me. And then I had to decide. I had to make the choice that I was going to lay that down. And when I did, Lord, I started seeing things the way you wanted me to see them. I started not questioning other people's motives. I began just taking people at their word. If their word turned out to be incorrect, well, that was on them. I didn't take it personal. I began to focus on good thoughts, positive thoughts, good things. And Lord, it's the same for anyone that makes himself a complex. I began running things through another filter. Lord, if you could do that for me, you could do it for anyone. And I know, Lord, that every one of us has things that we're being washed of, that we're being freed from in this process. And I know that, Lord, that you're being made manifest in a greater and greater measure. You're not getting greater in us, but your image is being reflected in a greater and greater measure as we allow your word to have the preeminence over our instruments, over our thinking, over our memories, our conscience, our affections, our feelings, whatever it might be. Father, I pray that you move in and out of every heart. I pray, Lord, that you bring us all into a greater manifestation of that image. Lord, that others would see Jesus. Lord, this lost and dying world that's getting its last altar call, may they see Jesus in us. May we be quick to be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. May the revival fires burn hot, Lord. May we be refreshed, Lord, not just from service to service, but every morning. May we be renewed, Lord. May your presence be renewed in our lives. May that freshness of your presence, Lord, the freshness of your life, of your spirit, Lord, may it be rekindled inside, and may it be reflected on the outside. Grant it, dear Lord. Father, may that life be on display on the outside that's living on the inside. Grant it, oh God. Father, we love you and we thank you. We give you all praise and honor and glory. Father, just bring us together more closely as a body. Not Lord, in the natural things of the world. We're not looking for having things in common in the natural, but in the spirit realm, Lord. Father, as we surrender to you, as our desire is for your will in our lives, and Lord, as we hunger and thirst for your word, as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father God, may we just be an encouragement one to another. Father, may we be encouraged by you. May we encourage one another in the faith. May you just be manifested in a greater measure in this portion of the body that you placed here at this time. Grant it this morning, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Spirit within me. Slow.